Good morning. A Monday morning following a holiday weekend, we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, President Donald Trump has signed the stimulus bill into law averting shutdown. The president's decision to back down, says the Washington Post, and sign the measure released $900 billion in stimulus funds into the economy that had been held up for nearly a week. Consequences of inaction were immense. Unemployment benefits, evictions, protections, small business aid, and stimulus checks would all be frozen and a government shutdown would begin. What logic was being used by the president here?
Well, David, as usual, it was a personal issue. The rest of the country could go to hell. He could lead us into a depression. And at the last moment, he chose not to do it. Now, what is this all about? Well, we have an incoming president of the United States who's been getting a lot of headlines. He's been announcing his cabinet. He's been announcing what his plans are. He's been announcing what he's going to do on the first day. He's announcing how he's going to change a great deal of the Trumpian edicts into sanity. And yet Trump still prevails in the headlines. How does he do it? He says, I'm not going to give out the money. I'm going to throw the country into chaos. And he waits until the last minute in order to do something. And that, of course, means that his name is in the headlines constantly from every minute to every hour, and he does it once again. That's who he is. It is very disheartening to see him get away with it, but get away with it he does. And I have a feeling that when we see the inauguration coming, we are now hearing rumors that he will announce his candidacy 4 years hence on the day of the inauguration. So he's going to be moving ahead, and it's going to take a tremendous amount, David, of concentration on the part of the Biden administration to make sure that this country has the kind of confidence in him and in government that it has lost over these years with Trump.
I mean, you even saw the New York, as you like to say, POST, saying stop the madness to Trump and saying basically, here's what you need to do to save your legacy.
Well, not only that, you know, Mnuchin did all of the negotiating for him. And once again, he gave a haircut to Mnuchin, for want of a better analogy. And the people who he works with and who have been his fiercest lieutenants get out fast. So, for example, his top lieutenants, every one of them, turned against him. People like the Attorney General, people like his top leaders in the United States Senate. One after another, they are discharged. Nobody means anything to him. He has no loyalty to anybody. They are expected to have ultimate loyalty to him. This is what many people would think of as very strange and, frankly, mentally ill behavior.
Meantime, again, we have a pandemic raging across the country and the second holiday wave, which could be coming next. And while the vaccine is being delivered, we have a variant of the coronavirus. Dr. Fauci and U.S. health officials believe the coronavirus mutation that set off alarms in parts of Britain is no more apt to cause serious illness or be resistant to vaccines than the strain afflicting people in the U.S. Dr. Fauci says the variant still must be taken very seriously, though, and is being studied intensively by U.S. officials now. I mean, taken seriously is the real issue.
David, that's right. The important thing here is that the vaccines that have been developed, Moderna, Pfizer, all of the others that are coming, will have taken into consideration the change in the virus itself. If, in fact, those vaccines cover the virus, that's great. And it'll be an important outcome that they can handle it. On the other hand, if they don't, if it turns out that this virus has a mind of its own, and if in fact these fixes that we have now seen don't work, we're in trouble. So far, the indications are from the manufacturers and from the people who have invented these vaccines that they will work. We can only hope. There is still the matter of the politics involving the authoritative allocation of resources and who gets it. There's no question that the people in the nursing homes need it, that the people who are the healthcare frontline providers need it and have to get it, that the doctors need it. But if, in fact, people are jumping the line and saying, I'm here to show you that this is a safe vaccine, I mean, there may be some truth to that, but on the other hand, they're saving their own lives. It is of some importance to so many people that this be done right and fairly.
What about seeing the pandemic? And I'm referring to an interesting article in The Intercept, Alan, Hiding COVID-19, How the Trump Administration Suppresses Photography of the Pandemic. As COVID-19 tore through the U.S. in the spring, a senior official in the Trump administration quietly reinforced a set of guidelines that prevented journalists from getting inside all but a handful of hospitals at the front line of the pandemic. The guidelines citing the medical privacy law known as HIPAA suggested a nearly impossible standard. Before letting journalists inside COVID-19 wards, hospitals needed prior permission from not only the specific patients the journalists would interview, but also other patients whose names or identities would be accessible.
David, are we surprised? I mean, think about this. This is a president of the United States who said that there would be no virus in the United States, that we maybe have 5, maybe 15 cases. Now we have the worst pandemic in the history of this country. And it is not surprising to me that everything that the Trump administration can do to tamp down news of this virus is being done. Let's face it, they are dangerous. And this president still isn't talking about this virus, still isn't wearing a mask, and is still encouraging people to shut their eyes and pretend it isn't happening. That's why you can't see journalists being allowed to do their jobs.
A political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Great to be back with you and everyone who listens to WAMC.
David, we missed you while you were gone. Ian did a great job standing in, but I have to say, always great to be back with my old pal doing this.
Right back at you, pal. And thanks to Ian and everybody who fills in and does the work so we can get a little rest.
The best kind of cooperation we can have, and so exemplary of the way WAMC works. And while we're on the subject of all of those people who can put something in the mail today, get it postmarked before the end of December, we get an awful lot of people who are saying, this is my radio station and I want to do something for it.